And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here and declare your independence. I'm Ernest Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Utiful Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, this is what we're doing. Kevin McKernan, CSO and founder of Medicinal Genomics. Now, this is what he did. Now, he's the chief scientific officer and founder of Medicinal Genomics Corporation, has pioneered the genomics of cannabis and hemp to build a stronger scientific environment, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you what happened. Kevin, what he did is he did a Dash proposal, the Dash crypto, and said, look, man, you know, I can take and sequence the DNA of every single itty-bitty little different strain of marijuana so that Bayer Monsanto can't patent our own freaking medicine. You know, we got boom, patent it, and this one, and this one, and this one. That's why I'm so against this, intellectual property of you have, or any property, or genetics of seeds. I own the seeds, and you're not allowed. And we sued. And we addressed this in one of the letters of Captain Mark. Now, there's just two paragraphs here that I want to, so you understand what my concern is. I understand the defense that Kevin's doing and the importance of this, but it's how IP is used against us. So I'm, here it is. Fundamentally, patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. Privateers petition the crown to prohibit the use of all alleged derivative thought from anything they had. We know how to do DNA, so all DNA is ours. I mean, if they could, they would. This ruse impedes creative freedom and relegates progress to the domain of a small class of scoundrels, restricting innovators to a decreasing field of permissible thought. If we are ever faced with an existential threat, this continued suppression of creative thought would jeopardize the survival of humanity itself. You're not allowed to think, fix, do what... because got to get their permission slip from them first. This alliance of means, using intellectual property, between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to share or develop, but their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. Using the copyright and patent, whatever, you know, this is kind of what Kevin McKernan is doing to make sure that we protect the future for us, and he's doing it by sequencing medicine. Saying, look, man, I send him a seed. I go, hey, man, this is my favorite. Fix my cancer of whatever the heck. And you go, boom, it's yours now. Or it's sure as hell not theirs. All right. One, how far off am I? And two, you know, tell me the whole story from what you've been doing, Kevin.
Yeah, so it's dead on. What we're trying to do is put as many of these strains in the public domain as possible. In order to do that, you need to demonstrate their genetics and probably some other characteristics of it as well.
Okay, now to define public domain, what do you mean by that? Doesn't belong to somebody or just doesn't belong to them?
It doesn't belong to anybody when we do this. This is what we call defensive IP. You're putting it public so that it is known as prior art. So when a patent and trademark office goes and looks for prior art, they find it. And it's right in their face and they can't miss it. And we're doing this with blockchain so that they are censorship resistant and they don't end up on websites that get deleted or turn into Alex Jones effects that you may have seen.
Or they can't, they can't change the record and say you didn't do it on that date because you know what date and blockchain date, done.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And so by putting the sequence public and preferably also some information about the types of cannabinoids the plants make, you can build a prior use exemption according to the USPTO or the US Patent and Trademark Office.
Well, they'll change that law.
they may, but that one's going to be a real difficult one to change because if you pull that thing out, the whole patent system falls in on itself. It really is all based on prior art.
Okay. So what your offer was when you went, the proposal that you did to Dash and they go, yeah, I'll buy that for a dollar or a Dash. Okay. So what you did, you said, give me the money and I'll what? How much did they wind up awarding you?
Well, so it was, what was it? It was, I think 150 Dash in total, which at the time was at a $475 price, which is, you know, it's now since gone down under 200. So it's decayed quite a bit, but nevertheless, we've managed to make do with even the price decay and get ourselves ahead of schedule.
Which is what? Give me a dollar amount here.
What is it? What is calculate that? Probably about $71,000. I think it was at the time of the proposal, and it's probably only going to give us about $30K. If the currency continues to go the direction it's going, it'll probably be $30K in total. It's a fair generous chunk of money, and we weren't certain if we could actually crack the entire genome for that price. It was a bit of a risk, but we gambled. And it looks like we've got ourselves a genome now that's public that is 224 times better than anything we did back in 2011. And it's four times better than anything that's ever been done before. And 60 days later, it is public. We have it public on our website. Anyone can download it if they want. We're now putting it up on the IPFS as well. So
okay, that, downloading what?
The sequence file. So we've got a website at Medicinal Genomics. People should take a look at it. It's called a crypto-funded public genomics that Dash has funded. And this has, if you enter an email address, it'll send you the file. And it's a big file. It's 280 megabytes. The reason we have that email in there is because we need to keep people from just robots from hitting that. And it's an anti-spam measure at the moment. But once we have it up in the IPFS, you'll be able to get it there too.
Okay, IPFS. Explain that to people.
Interplanetary File System is like a distributed store that's much like I won't call it a blockchain, but it's very hard to take down because it's like a BitTorrent system for file storage.
So you have several servers run by Lord knows who, and they all interface kind of like a blockchain node system that if you have the one authorized and for sure and meets the private key of that was it file, it gets shared a bunch of servers. You have to take them all down at one time to be able to censor it, or it just repopulates, and it's kind of like Bitcoin. So I'm going, all right, so this interplanetary file system sharing whatever is what DTube runs on. We already ran into this problem. We got a QAnon guy's phone number in one of the things. He goes, hey, man, you take that. I didn't know. Too late.
Yeah.
So sorry. But, the thing is that it is a mechanism by which you can do this research. You can sequence a particular plant that cures everything. And they go, hell no, we got to get rid of it. Too late. It's already sequencing up there and suck it.
Yeah, so this one is actually, the strain that we sequenced is very pivotal in the whole intellectual property space because there's already a U.S. issued patent on all strains that make both CBD and THC. And that's atrocious. That is basically a patent covering the most medicinal class of cannabis that's arguably been around for
by
a very, very long time.
Who has that patent?
Biotech LLC is the name of the company that owns the patent. And they're now trying to push it into a WIPO filing, which is basically a worldwide patent treaty, like a PCT filing, which means they're going to push it into Europe and Canada. And since we put this public, we've already been contacted by lawyers who are trying to fight this in Canada. There's a group called the Canadian Cannabis Coalition that is trying to demonstrate there's prior art to this patent. It's invalid. And they are thinking about bringing this actual sequence forward to do it.
Yeah, see? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? It always, the tighter your fist, the more star systems leak between your fingers. Okay? Well, one of those leaks is Kevin McKernan, and he's already done. And thanks to the people and the forward-thinking people at Dash. that knew that this was an important thing to do. And then he went and did it. Went and did it. From the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world. So I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive.
Hold on a second, Kevin. I gotta select a song here real quick.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe not. Ah, well, fun with that. Yeah, I, you know, a lot of the audience complained, pick new songs, man, damn it. And I got hundreds here, you know, I just don't remember. I always use them for whatever.
And did you get nailed for copyright on those things, or did you just play them for under 7 seconds? What's the trick there?
I do, but what happened was it was like 09, 10. Oh, that was 11.6 seconds of some Led Zeppelin there. You're not allowed on the, I go, screw you, I am off. I am not using it. So we stopped all our social media in like 9 or 10 because I could see where it was going. If they can, they are. So they definitely showed that they could. And I'm going, and a lot of people got, we just had the Common Sense Show, Dave Hodges, on the hour before. And he started his career on Freedom's Phoenix. He was a writer and activist that we helped with some, you know, eminent domain stuff back in the day. And he just got filled with, you know, and he was a college women's basketball coach, I think, I remember. But what happened was his family was affected by them trying to, you know, this Canamex highway through the parents. It just really became a thing, and it unraveled so much stuff. And he just went postal on it, man. He just started doing all this stuff. And he was making up to $9,000 a month on YouTube, and then it went half and the third, and it just, and that's what I could see happening. They go, Ernie, but this is where the money. I'm going, that's not what I'm in it for, man. I'm telling you, I could see they're going to get you on their tit, man. And then it's like, nope, and cold turkey of, and that's what's happening. So we went to any and every platform that we could do whatever we wanted, and they couldn't stop us. So I just don't care. All right, hold on.
Yeah, patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, let's take a walk on the wild side. And I got to make sure that I go at least, you know, 7, 10, 20 seconds of rejoin, because I break some law of I don't care. You know, this is the whole point. I could see that it is controlling thought, especially where do you get a lot of the communication of my generation that you could have just 20 seconds of a song and it take you right back to whatever the heck was going on in 1979 and a half of whatever the hell. And this is why music is so powerful. It associates a lot of things. So do smells and different other stuff. And you can't smell me on the radio. But I can play air guitar on the radio. The one thing that I wanted to make sure that we understood and why I did the letter of mark here is intellectual property, copyright and so on is in the Constitution. But it was even back then, they understood, okay, we'll give them a little bit, a seven-year thing. And now Mickey Mouse is, you know, forever and infinity will, you know, I can see where this goes. And it has to be to where you make it moot. And I got into an argument with a good friend, Boston Tea Party. We vacation together, we have common friends and, you know, see each other at least, you know, once a year or more. And he's, man, you're one of those evil guys that take mine and just put it out in my books and they're mine and my brain. And I sat there and run mine. So he gets upset. And I'm going, yeah, I understand your point. You know, make money selling the lunchbox or something, or they buy it from you, or don't sell it for two, or make it more convenient of what people will support author. I think it makes it to where it's more popular, the more people that know about it and then where to go get it, and they go to you and whatever. Yeah, but somebody else made money that I could have had. Did they? I mean, did you really? It's more like you're paying them for promotion. But my biggest opinion on this is intellectual property is a mechanism by which they control. They keep changing it, too. Okay, I'll wait until it gets into public domain, and then we'll use it. Ah, nope, we extended, you know, the copyright. So how are you depending on patent and copyright and everything? Is it a delaying tactic against them? Is it so that nobody can use it? Or are you putting it out to where nobody can take it from the public and anybody can use it?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I've been involved in IP for longer than I care to admit. I mean, really back since 97 or so. So I've seen the whole thing inside and out. I've been to court over patents. And over time, it's kind of worn me down. And I've come to agree with Stephen Kinsella on all this. Yeah. And that it's a big waste of time. It's no longer effective because the patent office moves too slowly and the rate of innovation just goes faster than you can even get patents to issue. And aside from that, you're right in that there is a morality question here that copying patterns of information is not theft. And Jefferson even has a famous quote about this, that when you share someone's light, you both have a candle that's lit. You haven't lost anything sharing information patterns. You may have lost the perceived capacity to have a monopoly and therefore get more money than you potentially deserve, but you are not stealing when you're sharing information because it's not scarce. It's not rivalrous or scarce. So what we're doing in medicinal genomics is we've built a platform called Canopedia that allows people to get their strain sequenced and put their sequence public, and that makes the information a basically a public resource, and it gives you a timestamp on a blockchain as to when that data existed. So if patent trolls come to you later, you can demonstrate that our stuff existed at this timestamp, and we're therefore not under we are prior art to your actual filing date. Now, some people may use our service for the opposite, and we can't stop them from doing it. They may decide to take the sequence and try and file on it, and you know, we're not going to get in the way of that. We're here to basically provide sequencing services. But I would probably guess that 90% of the people we work with are actually putting them public as a prior art defense because it's cheaper. To put something public is only going to cost you $500. To file a patent on this information may cost you $50,000. And this is why many people in fast-paced fields and technology are resorting to this type of approach. If you look at Tesla, if you look at Twitter, if you look at a lot of these entities, they're recognizing the patent system blows a lot of money, and if you just put that money back into R&D, you'd be better off than if you played this game of trying to own all this intellectual property.
Well,
space.
A good example of that is they go to SpaceX and they said, how come you're not patenting your Merlin engine? You know, you need to put it, and he goes, why? I'm the only customer. And he goes, you know, if you want to reverse engineer it, well, buy one and you can do what the hell you want with it. You know, he goes, hell, I'll put all my Tesla stuff out there for everybody. Here, go make electric cars. I don't care. You know, this was it's a totally different mindset that scares the crap out of the central planners, because by making this information available to everyone, then no one controls it. It's just who can do it better. And when you do the patent thing, if you just put the Merlin engine on there, you'd have to put every single, you know, little nit and tittle of the measurement of the, this is exactly how I did it. And then, you know, they go, thank you for the plans. We'll just make them. We don't care about IP in China. And, you know, screw you. And at least this way, they'd have to buy one of the engines if he didn't
That's
do
true.
That.
Yeah, that is one risk in filing patents is you end up just displaying all of your trade secrets in the process, and you may not get protection for 3 years. That's the average time it takes.
Hell, you may not get protection. They go, you know, it was kind of like General Motors had this kind of sort of almost all-encompassing of Amazon said that all delivery through air of packet hats theirs. You know, I am like, so is this a mechanism? I give you a perfect example. We were doing the carbon nanotube battery project, and I have a tube furnace thing and acetylene, long story. So I take this, and I did it just to say, no, I ain't letting you guys patent carbon. Now, would I go through the patent process? Hell no. But I got a bunch of articles and stuff, and I can do prior, and they can suck it. And once I demonstrated that to there was a group that was a consortium that was at a gun show selling nanotube body armor. And I go, there is no way they're doing what they say they're doing now. If they are, hell, I'll just buy the $600 vest and burn off all the other stuff, and I'll just cheaper for me to get my nanotubes that way, you know? So they go, so yeah, I had them on, and when I talked about it, damn, all of a sudden it went away. And the reason, it had generals and admirals and PhDs and all this other stuff. They were trying to get a contract with the government and start to patent the process are carbon nanotubes. And I'm going, you freaking hell no. What you have provided is not just for sequencing of the genomics of marijuana and so on, or cannabis, but you can do pretty much anything this way, right? I can go out and put out in the public of, this is public, blockchain public, and then nobody can take that concept and deny us access.
Yeah, and that's an important point, is you want to have some portion of this data, a hash or something of the data, registered on a blockchain that is censorship resistant. Otherwise, websites can be taken down. There's all types of mechanisms to censor you through the DNS system or through ICANN. You know, having it on a website does not mean it's really in the public. That's just a temporary place.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Wayback Machines find it, but it can be deleted, edited, and changed. So you need hashes of this information put into blockchains that are immutable.
You know, this is one thing, immutable. Can't censor, change, all the other. We got a new word, immutable. It's really been used a lot. I want to make sure people understand what that means. It's there forever and always and can't, you know? So, more with Kevin McKernan, because this is, I want to see the future. And how has this information already been accessed and used by? We get some real case scenarios here once he's made it public what he's doing.
Does this ever happen to you? Moment.
Yeah, this is when we come back, you know, in the third segment here, I want to hear some stories about, and yeah, hell yeah, we've been waiting on and this and do mine, and this is how I'm protecting me from, and the man, somebody wants to come explain it to you, don't they?
Yeah, in terms of folks who are utilizing the data that's up there.
Yeah. But I mean, also, I want to get into, you know, there's the other side and the bad guys, and they're like, Kevin, man, you know, you should have come to us. If you'd come to us, we gave you a shitload of money.
No, oh, yeah. We're doing just fine. You know, the company right now is just growing like a weed, no pun intended. So it's, we're not, I don't think that's the route we want to go. Our business model is not to compete with our customers, we want to enable them.
What is it? I give you what? Here, go seek and do this, and here's $300, $3,000, $30,000. I mean, what are we talking about here?
It depends on what you want to do. There's two different flavors of sequencing we have on our website right now. One's $500 and one's $3,000. One sequences a key set of genes in it's kind of a more targeted approach for the $500, or the whole genome for $3,000.
Wait. I can get a DNA sequence of a whole genome of a plant for $3,000 on the blockchain. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and that is done, I want to clarify, that is not being done the way that we did this Jamaican lion strain. That's being done with a very short read sequencer that cuts corners but can still give you a picture, as long as you have a very good reference genome like we now have with the Jamaican lion plant. Jamaican lion plant probably cost us $30,000. To get this de novo assembly into the picture that it's in. But once you have that picture of the genome, the process of resequencing it becomes tenfold cheaper because now you can use tools that are cheaper and faster just to kind of map reads back to the original reference.
Okay. All right. Let me ask some specific questions. And I should save this for the air. Okay. What I'm going to ask on the air, I'm going to go, all right, I got the greatest, super duper weed of does makes, Viagra going out of business. Okay. So you go, Viagra, ha, I got this, call it stick weed or whatever the hell. So you have this one, and I got all the derivatives from that seed of, and I got a crop that comes out in my big giant grow of whatever, and I get it sequenced, and I go, yeah, this is the crap right here. Well, the next batch that comes in, I paid the $3,000 for the first one. I paid the $300 for, next one after that to certify that it's the same one. You see my point?
Yeah, absolutely. And then in the future, there's going to be $30 tests, I'm sure, that will cut even more corners but can still nail the fingerprint of the plant once you've done those other key steps.
Yeah, because I'll get somebody will say, oh, this is a purple, cushy sense of whatever the hell, And they go, that was pretty good. Let me get that again. This is it. How do I know? Where's that little, McKernan sticker that's on there? You see my point?
Yep.
And that's where you're going to be making your money, right?
Yeah, that's the business model right now is perform lots of sequencing for the field. And this is not just going to help for IP purposes, but if you really want to breed this plant for desired traits like, powdery mildew resistance or drought resistance, what have you, you use genetics to do that. You do what's known as marker-assisted selection, and it accelerates your breeding toward those desired traits. So outside of being a good fingerprinting tool for defensive IP purposes, it's very much an enabler of an agricultural
okay,
revolution.
Now how would you do the breed? Are you irradiating it or just a hybrid with another plant?
No. There are ways to do that, but I think what you're going to find happening first is this marker-assisted selection process is really just doing what Mendel did on steroids, right? You screen for phenos, you get
okay,
genetic
okay, let's talk about it. Here we're coming back. Here we go.
Broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I just broke the law! Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. You know what I should do? Maybe I should turn up. I am not going to allow for intellectual colonization of my brain. They could just suck it. And I just, no, hell no. I think I'll decline. So this is what Kevin McKernan is doing with the sequencing of information, and using DNA and so on. I'll give you an example. There was a strain called Charlotte's Web it was really economical to grow because it didn't have a lot of THC. It's kind of heavy on the CBDs and it did, blah, blah, blah. But there was a young girl named Charlotte that had heavy epileptic seizures throughout the day. It was just debilitating as heck. Her parents just got, so they moved to Colorado and they found a strain called it Charlotte's Web. And what it was a certain strain of marijuana that stopped her seizures. Now, of course, the man doesn't want, it actually, fixing stuff, they freak out and everything. But why would they grow it if there isn't a market for it? Well, the guys go, hey, don't worry about it. We'll make sure we got, what the hell? We got a couple of pots over here. We got enough to supply your kid for like forever. And then, of course, it turns into like an industry, having this particular strain for this thing. Well, what happens when Bayer Monsanto comes out and they say, that's ours. That you're not allowed. Well, the first thing you do, you go to Kevin, you say, hey, man, for $3,000, I can get the entire plant DNA sequenced. $300, I can get some targeted things or something. But now, once you get it done and you do another batch to certify that batch, it's the same thing. You can get that down to what, Kevin?
Well, we're not there yet, but I suspect you'll see $50 genotyping tools in the future that will be able to recapitulate. You'll probably just measure maybe 50 SNPs, like single letter changes that have enough signature in the plant to tell you, yeah, that's Charlotte's Web. You don't have to do the whole genome after that point.
Yeah, no, I can. This is awesome. You know, this is where, because it's more than being able to protect against IP claims of the they, them, those that want to rule us. It's also quality control. You know, it's that they go, absolutely. Yes, it's purple, cursy couch lock of blah, blah, blah strain of, you know, it's the crap right here because it's popular on, they call it whatever. And then, I want some more of that. Yeah, sure, I'll put that label on this green stuff over here. How the hell would you know?
You don't, and it's a mess right now. There's many publications that have shown the strain name game is real. People are just counterfeiting and mislabeling, and you cannot rely on strain names to get the same
killer. No! Say it ain't so.
Yeah.
Okay, so they would, is this already starting, or grows starting to come to you and say, hey, man, we need just some quality control certified if I can charge 22.6% more for this as long as it's got a label on saying you said it was, and there it is.
Absolutely. They're doing them by the dozens now. This is no longer dipping your toe in and trying it once. The growers are coming up and doing every mother plant they have now. And that's so that they have a reference for all their mother plants. They tend to get maybe 1,000 clones off the mother plant. And once you've sequenced the mother plant, you know the genetics of everything in your line because you've done cloning, therefore, out. So it's a very it amortizes quite nicely. Even though $500 sounds like a lot of money, if you have 1,000 clones off that mother plant, it's really 50 cents a plant.
Yeah, no. I've been to some of these grows. I up in Washington State, they had 40,000 square feet. I mean, it was enormous. These big, giant hoop farm buildings, four of them that were 100 and 200 feet long of big, giant evaporative coolers at the one end because in this particular part in central Washington, it's dry. That's why they go there, is because it gives them more control using evaporative cooling and the humidity they get to control, blah, 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 blah. And they got gazillion plants in these big, you know, planters that they just have row after row after row after row, and they start trimming them. They got big, giant buds the size of your arm. I'm going, holy crap, how much? Tens of millions of dollars worth, and I guarantee you they'll pay your $50 to get it stamped. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And they're doing this for quality control. Many of the regulators are starting to ask for it as well because they can't really keep track of these things.
No, see, that's where they go. No, you can't use Kevin over here. You got to use the certified of the state of kind of this scumbag over here to certify that certified.
They may. It's early. We haven't seen that yet. But
oh, here it comes.
I think the key thing to take away from this is that genetic barcodes make almost everyone in the industry happy in that, yes, regulators are going to track this stuff because they can't persist without a tax base, right? So they need to make sure it doesn't divert, right? But they're using barcodes right now that no one can make any sense out of. They're RFID tags. If you use genetics in that arena, the growers now have information about the heredity of the strain, and they can do all types of biology with it and all types of breeding with it. And then, of course, the patients can be confident that when they go state to state, since they can't bring their cannabis state to state, they have to rebuy it in every state, they know that they're getting the same thing. We can't get that with the current seed-to-sale tracking systems that are out there. They're all cartelized into state-by-state software silos, if you will.
You know, they wanted the RFID starting itty-bitty seeds, and it goes up. Oh, it's got a stem. Put a ankle bracelet on it, okay? So
yeah, it's the first thing that gets ripped off when it goes out the back door.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you want to track it from seed to table or whatever. That I'm going, how stupid is that? It's just stupid. That's just
it's security
stupid.
Theater.
Stupid.
Yeah.
So now you have the ability. Hey, man, I'll just do the strain. Yeah, this came from this one grow in northeastern Kansas, and we know. And I'm going, okay. You know, that's kind of scary in one sense, but, you know, for someone that's looking for quality control and wanting to protect somebody else doesn't get to take it and you're not allowed to have access to your own stuff, I'm going, very cool. So how has this been received by Dash?
So initially, it does freak some people out because they think, oh, now you can track diversion. But a lot of the grows don't want the liability of that. You'll see what happened in Denver recently. Some people got accused of diverting stuff because they found some weed outside of a system and they blamed it on one grow. And the grow's like, that's not ours. And if you have these genetics, you can prove that. But they shut down a couple dispensaries, like 11 of them in Colorado last month, falsely. They just recently announced that, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. We thought you guys diverted it, but you didn't. So there's a reason to have something with higher fidelity so they don't come knocking on your door.
Yeah.
But in general, the barcoding thing is one issue. I think the bigger play in cannabis is actually having the genetics so that you can do accelerated breeding. That's what's going to really change the price points on this, that if you can get drought resistance or powdery mildew resistance or all of these key characteristics of the plant, if you can map which genetics basically correlate with that, you can effectively put your breeding program on steroids.
Okay, you're talking about doing this by hybriding with other strains, or are you talking about actual genetic modification of the seeds or what?
Just Mendel genetics on steroids. You don't need to GMO this stuff. I think that's a little bit too early. We don't know enough about, there's all this debate with CRISPR-Cas9 having off-target effects and everything. And so there's, you know, you can mess things up and all types of property rights come into play. The moment you genetically modify the plant, people tend to patent it because you can once you modify it, right? So I think what you're going to find is people are going to first just use the DNA sequence information to track markers, what are known as quantitative trait loci, and then breed and select for the ones that have the markers you want. And you can do this the moment a leaf pops out of the ground. You don't have to wait for the plant to mature to scratch and sniff it and figure out which pheno you should take. You can translate that all into a genetic coordinate system and then start screening those the moment something comes out of the ground. So now you've accelerated your breeding program by 12 weeks.
Okay, so let's walk us through so people understand how this would be done. You have one main plant that you're testing on, or you like this one, and it's pretty and makes, you know, rainbows and whatever. So you do that, and you got these other plants that are out there. You take the pollen from this one, and you go, that one in its own little plastic area, we don't get it mixed with something else. You do this one, this one, this one. You could have 30 different strains that you did this one with or combinations of. Then it goes to maturity. You take the seeds, you plant it. It pops up a leaf. You take that leaf and you go and check and see if it's got what you want to got. And then I focus on this one. I like that strain, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we're probably going into break here, but basically imagine you have 100 strains, 30 of them are powdery mildew resistant. Sequence them all. Find the genetic variants that are unique to the ones that are powdery mildew resistant. You then have some markers that you can use these cheaper genotyping tools that might be $50 a piece to then screen for every plant forward.
Three years from now, we're going to cure ourselves of everything. Thanks to Kevin from the second letter of Captain Mark. Mm-hmm. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com. Okay, we got one more segment. I want to make sure you get in everything that you want to get in. What do you want to get in?
Well, I probably underscore, we're going to be talking a lot about this accelerated breeding stuff at CanMed, so we can try and point people to that conference. And you know, I can go over a few details of the genome. We now know it's actually bigger. It's about a billion bases, not 500 or 700 people thought it was before. A couple other details on THC and CBD. We actually can now see where those genes are in the genome, and they're actually pretty close to one another, which is kind of a new finding. We can hit anything else you'd like to hit on, Ernie, as well.
All right. Well, I want to make sure you get out what you want, you know, and I'm not yakking the whole time. All right, hold on. Yeah, that's funky enough. Okay. This is innovative. I mean, you know, there has to have been somebody who wants to, you know, be your buddy. Can I get some more coffee, please? There's somebody in the industry, somebody in the government, somebody wants to explain it to you. International, they're like, hey, man, you know, or they want to invest or something. You know, they'll come inside. If they can't, you know, convert you, they'll buy you or something. I mean, you know, there has to have been some kind of communication with you, you think?
Well, we had an oversubscribe round already last October. We'll probably be going through another one this year. But right now, the company is on track to probably go into the black probably before the end of the year. So we're growing exceptionally well.
Are those that just want to be left alone? and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, we're getting funky. Funky, 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 funky. You know, this is what's going on. I guarantee if I got this kind of, any plant, you know, any plant. And this is where you have large corporations. They'll go, yeah, you know, we the law is that we require that you sequence all of your stuff. Anything goes on the shelf of, you know, Albertson's food system of Safeway fries. We kind of, it's got to be sequenced, got to get their sticky label on, and only people with gazillions of dollars can do it. And little farmer, and you're out and you don't get to play. They do this all the time. It's all about, they create a monopoly, eliminate competition, make the requirements in compliance with whatever it is so expensive that nobody can compete. Well, then you can't even compete against, you created it, they take it, patent it, and you're not allowed to do it. You don't get healed. They make a derivative of some natural cures everything out of the Amazon, make a synthetic of it, then make it illegal. We just talked about it. We're talking to a doctor doing the serotonin. The base chemical is tryptophan. So they tried, I remember in the early 90s, they tried to make tryptophan, which is in freaking Turkey. They made tryptophan illegal, or they took it off the shelf. You used to be able to, like, ginseng, these little bottles at 7-Eleven or whatever. You know, you used to be able to get tryptophan. It was helping people sleep. It was doing, because they didn't, I understood this SSRI, this serotonin inhibitor, uptake inhibitor. Yeah. So they go, inhibit it. Why? Because, well, it's a measurement of, it's just a bunch of crap. And the thing is that now that people find these other medicinals or just plain foods that cure a lot of stuff, well, they go, yeah, but did you sequence it? Yes, I did. Grandma did it for $30. Kiss my butt. Okay? You're making to where Ma and Pa can compete with the big bad boys on this stuff. How far off am I?
It's happening faster than I think people imagine. You're going to see desktop sequencers in the next few years. There's already some small ones that are out there, but they're USB.
I'm sorry, you broke up. You broke up.
So we're working very hard to get decentralized sequencing going, so people can do these point of grow, and that requires that you have, you know, USB based devices. And so we have a USB-based PCR system that helps people do some of our tests in the field, and there are even some USB-based DNA sequencers.
No, wait. You got to get all scientific geeky on me. You got to give me a real case scenario. You're saying I can do a plug-in on top of my iPhone and poke a plant with it, and boom, it's done?
Yes, those days are coming. The accuracy on them is a little rocky right now, but they're gonna clean that up. And these are portable USB-based sequencers that are out there now from Oxford Nanopore. And they're not, we didn't use them on this genome because the accuracy was a concern to build the first genome. And so we've been using this platform called Pacific Biosciences that is, I mean, the price of DNA sequencing is falling faster than anything I think we've ever seen before. It's one of the, it's changed like almost a millionfold in the last like 7 years in terms of the price. So yeah, 3-5 years from now, you'll be able to be sequencing genomes in your grows, no doubt.
You know, this is, I remember Ray Kurzweil, is that his name, the futurist guy? He was going on when they were doing the, I remember in the 90s when they said, we got to sequence the human genome. Oh, that'll never have to take forever and always, and gazillions of, it's too complicated. And you got, and they went like 9 years or so, and they had done like 20%. And they're going, oh, it'll be decades before, and like 2 years later, they were done. You know, it's exponential growth of this, and the exponential reduction in price, exponential ease of doing it, and where are they going to put it? And you set the, with Dash, thank you, Dash, you're using their blockchain to put this on. That was one of the benefits they got out of it, right?
Yeah, and we went with Dash because we were using Bitcoin before, but, you know, December destroyed Bitcoin in our eyes. We really had to move over to something that was faster and cheaper. So we moved over to Dash because it's a nice fork, and I like the governance model, and they're moving in the direction of even having drive space. So there's a lot of exciting things going on at Dash that I think make it a good platform for even upheaving the whole peer review process and the publication process. You know, we have basically a daily log on our website of every experiment we're doing. You don't see that in science. You only see the positive results getting published years later. We're publishing this daily, and everything's getting hashed and stashed into the Dash blockchain such that the whole concept of peer review is going to invert and no longer be hierarchical. It's going to be heterarchical.
Yeah, you don't have to, if you're the scumbag of rule the world, you can't just buy a science magazine and say it's so, right?
Well, and those editors have been known to retract papers, very controversial papers. So there is influence at the top of those journals.
No, I mean, constant. I do shows on this all the time. I'm just tired. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. And I'm telling you, uncovering the secret, exposing the lie, really easy when you're doing it and putting it on a blockchain if it can't change. And they don't like it. And who's they? Who's your opposition, you think?
I don't know who our opposition might be. Maybe the people who filed this patent, because they probably spent a lot of money filing this patent and were nibbling away at its validity. But I think there's more people supporting us than fighting us on this, because I think everyone in the cannabis industry realizes that patent is a massive overreach.
It's not numbers of how many support you. It's who's the big 600-pound gorilla with an AK-47 that doesn't support you.
Yeah, right. Well, you mentioned this before, that, you know, that they may be coming to get me, but I think speed is the answer here. You know, 60 days later, this genome's out. So
right.
It's too late.
No, amen, brother. That is it. They'll let it go and wait till the guy in the position of the shiny badge, the government department of, gets a memo and says, and you better and go and file, and then it's too late. You know, so it's they just move slowly and you're moving quick. Are you going as fast as you anticipated?
A little bit slower. We actually did some stuff in series. We planned on doing a few things in parallel, because with the Dash price coming down, we decided we have to do them in series to just save cash. But even though we have a genome right now that's better than the human genome that was celebrated at the White House back in 2001, we can still make it 10 to 100-fold better. And that next step is underway right now in the laboratory. We're starting to build perfect chromosomal maps of this thing with some Hi-C technology that's out there. So it'll still be going until October, and October is where we showcase the rest of this beautiful picture. It will be at CanMed, this conference we hold at UCLA, October 22nd to 24th. And it will be going over some of this work. Dash is also going to have a track there. There'll be a cryptocurrency track that's going to show some Zencash stuff, some Dash stuff, and a variety of other crypto talkers or speakers. So, and we're still open to other speakers submitting in abstracts. If folks are interested in speaking at that crypto track, definitely get in touch with us. We're looking for more speakers there. Also on the
I tell you one
front.
Thing, and I could get you a speaker, or I could do it, whatever. What we're doing is using Z and Zencash. I've talked to the guys, and we're doing the memo field in the transaction can be used to do messaging. And because you have the zero
Absolutely.
Proof of, you don't have what it's hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. Third letter of Captain Mark is, I don't want them to know who sent it. I don't certainly what's in it or who it got sent to. And there's nothing you can do. And I sent pirate messaging. So they're working on that now. They already have it done, but to get it down to what works on a cell phone is like October that they're releasing that. And I'm going, this is going to change everything. What happens when I can send a private message to someone and it costs me a micro cent of a crypto and it's in the memo field to bite me? I'm going, you feel me? When does that? Because Signal, it just maps out your contact list. They go, oh, we see everybody's network. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about, but it's a freedom guy talking to another freedom guy about freedom, probably, you know? So they just want the network. They don't even care what you say. They just want to know who all your friends are. So what happens when they can't do that anymore? This is changing everything. So that's something you might want to, hear about.
It's critically important. Everything we're seeing just this week and all the censorship online, that everyone ran to the internet because the old media seemed to be all co-opted with, mockingbird type of activity. Now the internet's getting completely co-opted by some of the same forces. And so these decentralized tools are going to mitigate some of it.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Or have been, and you've been watching this for many more years than I have. Yeah, you're right. It probably started that way, but hey, there's a great book out there I'll shop here called Life After Google, and it goes over all this, and it has a wonderful history of how the internet was built and why it's porous and how it centralizes power at the top.
Okay, wait, what's the name of this book?
Life After Google.
Life After Google. Donna, put that up in the second hour. Life After Google. Hell yeah. So we know we're not the first ones thinking of this stuff, but Kevin's the first one doing it for the people. This is why I invest in philosophy, not the technical will come to the philosophy. You know, you want to have decentralized peer-to-peer bite me. You want to have secret whatever. You want to be not on the radar screen of. You want to be able to, you know, watch all your freaking whatever the hell you know, catapult videos and they can't take it down. You know, I'm all in. So Kevin, he's been keeping me up to speed on this since we talked to him originally when this started. And I just keep seeing all the rapid progression of getting to where, and you have to be fast or they'll stop you. And he's already going, all the horses are out of the barn. Life sucks for y'all. Kevin McKernan, what website should they go to?
MedicinalGenomics.com is our website where we have a lot of the products. CanMed events, we'll have the CanMed conference there. And if you want to learn about this crypto project, I think if you poke around on the Medicinal Genomics site, you'll find one called Crypto Funded Public Genomics that has the entire lab log of everything we've done in the last 60 days to get this thing public.
Okay, we're in the after show now, but do that one, the last one you just did, the genomics as it's live. Oh. What's that?
Yeah, Crypto Funded Public Genomics.
Genomics. Right.
That will have the whole lab log of every experiment we've done, and we're trying to be as transparent as possible on this just to showcase how science, we think, should be done, which is the Journal of Negative Results should still be published. When we make mistakes, you'll see them on our website that, we did the wrong thing there, we're going to go a different direction. That is very informative for other people, and it's left out of the traditional publications that you see today.
Well,
it's embarrassing, but hey, you know, everyone learns from mistakes. So why not put them out there?
That's a trait. The uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. So the secret is I screwed up, and now it's not a secret anymore. Okay. So this is a. I can see where this goes on like everything, and I'll give you a good example. Bulletproof coffee every morning. Okay, I'm OD'ing on coconut oil and grass fed butter. It would be nice if I could, since I'm dependent on it so much, that I would have some kind of a certification that's exactly what I wanted to do and put in my body, and it was really grass-fed butter, that kind of thing. Because I can tell the difference.
We'll nail that. Yeah, blockchains will help get you that. I think there's one. Christian Saucier was involved in a company that was like a food blockchain.
Now, where do I know that name from? What is Christian Saucier?
He helped us start Canopedia, actually, and he's been in the blockchain space for a while. What's he doing now? I think he for a while was doing.
I think I interviewed him for something. It seems like he was a guest.
You may have. I think he has. He probably has been a guest on your show. But bright guy, and was involved at one point in trying to build out a food chain that would effectively give you authenticity for these types of nutraceuticals. And it's definitely needed, because one problem you do have in these spaces is when you don't have that level of transparency, everyone ends up begging the FDA and the USDA to create it for them, and they overregulate.
That's a waste of freaking time.
Yeah, that's where it goes. Like in the cannabis industry, there's a lot of people that are just begging and cheering for more regulation because there's so much counterfeiting going on. People are selling CBD that doesn't have any CBD in it. But the answer isn't to go get the feds involved, because look what they've done to CBD.
Nah, I don't believe them anyway. Screw them.
Yeah, we can build these as a community. We can build these as peer-to-peer networks. We can build these just like we have rating systems on Uber, except we can decentralize them and have them be ironclad.
This came out. The philosophy and libertarian philosophy, and you're in campaigns through the 90s, and there you go, it'll just be this. It'll be like Consumer Reports. It'll be like this. We'll trust, private evaluator, the blah, 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 not the government. And it was hard to make that case to some people until, technology started getting to where eBay. I remember when eBay first came out and you had a rating system. It was, you were judged by your performance of how you served your customers. That, I had a low rating, or don't trust this some bitch, and kind of blah 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 blah. And all of a sudden, it worked great, and it was like, woohoo. Then with that, you go to Silk Road, and you can trade any. Nobody knows any kind, and they're trusting God, and you get your drugs, or whatever the hell your idea, whatever you want. So,
and all of those systems, at least in the Silk Road, there have been papers that have come out showing that it reduces violence in the drug war. So
I don't care. That is not, they want violence. those won't leave us alone. I understood immediately when we first started talking about this and what your plan, and I was very encouraging to this, because I could see, especially if you were able to perform, which it looks like you have. Are people happy with your progression?
Yeah, so far the votes have gone up in Dash since we've released some of this data, and we really weren't expecting it to mature this quickly. We were thinking October we'd get this far, but fortunately we got lucky with a lot of the hard work we did in the lab to get long molecules of DNA to the sequencers, and that really changed.
So they're going to refund you again for another project or another round?
I don't know if we're going to we'll see. We'll probably run this one out until October, until CanMed, and then I'll relook at things then. The hardest part about this was the price decay and having to reshuffle your entire plan almost weekly as the cash went down. So I almost want to see a little bit more stability before we plan another project like that. But we'll see. If the genome ends up not going to the full completion level that we want, maybe we'll throw something in to supplement it so that we can finish the
okay.
The
well, how are you funded privately? I mean, how's it structured? Is it corporation, LLC, what? 501?
We are Reg D C Corp, with probably 200 investors, and so we have that does put a shadow over everything we can do. We really can't be. We can touch the DNA of the plant. Okay, we can get stem in from the plant that's been isopropanol treated according to hemp industry associations versus the DEA, but we can't really become a cannabis testing laboratory. And not that we want to. We're building tools for those laboratories to run this stuff, but in order for us to stay compliant with the SEC, we're not a plant toucher, as they say in the cannabis field.
Okay, so you get the DNA, you just use the stem or something.
Yeah, we can get DNA out of the stem.
You know, it's your, just the man.
Yeah, I know. It's we were funded this way many years ago, and it's one of those things where hindsight's 2020. Maybe we should have been in Canada. Maybe we should have been in Amsterdam. But we're not.
Israel.
Yeah, Israel's great. Yeah, they have.
This the future of this. I mean. Now, have you been valued? I mean, are they putting like you're a $300 billion company in the future of whatever?
We're a startup. Yeah, we're 15 people that's really just got funded for $5 million back in October, and we're doing very well in terms of we're ahead of all of our expected growth rates, but it's growing over 200% CAGR.
Well, I appreciate you staying in touch and keeping me informed because I read all your stuff and I'm like, damn, man, you guys rock and roll and whatnot. Hey, I got to get to my next guest, but I tell you, congratulations. And when we probably should have you on before the
CanMed conference. Yeah.
Yeah. The cannabis conference.
And maybe we'll get you down there. If it doesn't conflict with anything else in your schedule, it'll be great.
Yeah. Let me know. I tell you, if it's appropriate and inside, my focus is going to be using this technology to be able to have truly anonymous, decentralized, secret, they don't even know communication. Go to piratewithoutborders.com and read the third letter of Captain Mark. That is the white paper for them doing this. And they're making much better progress than I thought in a short time that I really hammered on it in June at a festival. And some coders gone on it, and boom, they're done. I had dinner with Roy from Zencash in New Orleans a few weeks ago, and on this and their work, because Zcash and Zencash kind of use the same, some stuff, and they're working.
Yeah, ZK-SNARKs, yeah.
So go ahead and I got 30 seconds. I get my next guest, but I tell you, let me know. Make me a speaker. I'll get these guys or I'll get somebody for me or something, and we will detail exactly what you can do. Communicate this private communication. Everybody's going to go, thank you.
Yeah. It's definitely needed, and we can already see the censorship coming down on us.
Yeah,
hopefully more people are waking up to that.
We'll be in touch. Donna will get you rescheduled, and we'll get done. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ernie. Take care.
Peace, brother.